You know what's going to be fun is we remember when Cassidy was 5 months old, 4 months old, 3 months old. Yeah, when she first came to her new family. And now we're watching her crawl up here. And you know what's next, right? The walking, the talking, the running, all that great stuff. But how awesome is that? Is that she knows that this is a place where she is unconditionally loved. And she agrees. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, there's a lot of focus these days on identity theft. Anybody ever have their identity stolen?
Yes.
Not a fun thing, is it? Really, really hard thing for us to get back. But I'm going to tell you that I think each and every one of us at some point in our lives have had our identity stolen or our identity questioned. When I was a kid and I was probably first or second grade, and take yourself back to that time. Do you remember when you first were like really looking at the mirror and you were looking and you said, oh my gosh, that's me. I mean, like really for the first time, you're beginning to focus on your identity. And like you moved your lips and you talked and you're like, oh, this, like, what is it like, you know, in our little brains? Maybe I just overanalyze things. But I can remember standing in front of the mirror saying, you know, who am I? And I was raised in a home where I was, you're a child of God. And what am I going to be when I grow up? I'm going to do something in which I'm going to serve other people. You know, I knew who my definition of who I was, a child of God. And I knew that. But then something happened when I became a teenager. I wonder if any of you guys experienced this. I looked in the mirror and I would say, well, who am I, trying to figure out who I am, what is my identity, right? And it was like, well, I don't look like the other kids. I have this wacky hair, and not the most popular of kids. Do people like me for who I am? Well, who am I? You know, I'm not the kid that's running around wearing the latest fashions. So all of a sudden, my identity started to be developed based on what other people thought of me. And you know how hard middle and high school years are, right? We always say, who wants to go back there? It was a tough, tough time. And then I hit my 20s, and there I am in my new job. I have my suit, my gray wool suit. This is the 80s. You never, ever wanted to show your femininity back then, right? Especially in the banking world, you wanted to fit in just like all the other guys. And so then I got my American Express card. You know, I've made it. Remember that one? That old commercial with the green card? You knew you made it when your name was there, right? And so I was excited because now I could whip out my American Express card and say, see, I got a good job. You know, I'm somebody. We left, right? Then my next big thing when I was working was to get the title. Anybody know what I mean by that one if you're in the corporate world, right? You wanted the title. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter whether it came with money or not. You just wanted that title because then you were somebody. Oh, you're an officer of the bank now. Oh, very nice. So I was beginning to identify myself in those things. In my 20s, I bought my first new car. I had never, ever, my parents never owned a new car. So I felt like I made it. I walked in. I didn't know what the heck I wanted. I just knew I wanted a new car. All of a sudden, I began to find my identity in this car. Then I hit my 30s, and I got married, and I became Carl's wife. I became the stepmother to my two stepchildren who came and lived with us. And all of a sudden, I was their mom. I was Carl's wife. I was an aunt, Aunt Mare, the favorite aunt, the best aunt, because she spoiled everybody. She was the one that didn't really have the kids, so she could spoil everybody, right? So that was probably my 30s, my 40s, still identifying myself by my business card, the work that I did. My identity had gotten stolen, and I didn't even realize it. But I allowed people to steal my identity because there are thieves out there that we don't realize who are stealing our identity. Jesus goes into the wilderness after he is given his identity, and it's spoken, and the Holy Spirit is poured out to him. You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And Jesus goes into the desert. And what's the first thing that happens after quite a number of days? Jesus is hungry. Who comes along? The thief. We'll call him the thief. And says, if you are the Son of God. It's not if you are, by the way. The translation is since you are the Son of God. You see, the devil knows exactly who Jesus is. Since you are the Son of God, and you're clearly hungry, turn those stones into food. So, okay, Jesus is hungry. He could do that. But what is the thief really doing? The thief is saying, rely on yourself. Self-focus. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to satisfy my immediate need. I'm not going to focus on myself. The second thing that the devil says, see, the devil is testing him in his identity. We may call them temptations, but it's a testing that's going on. And what is the second thing that he says? He says, you know, show your power. Show your power to everyone. Show everyone who you are. Worship me and I will give you all this. But it really goes much deeper than this. You are the Son of God. And since you are the Son of God, come here and kick Rome out and take over. It's not how Jesus does business, is it? Jesus is focused on servanthood and doing the will of God. And the will of God looks like servanthood. Not power as the world defines it. And then the third thing is that the devil takes him to Jerusalem, to the top of the temple, and says, throw yourself off of here since you're the Son of God, and make a spectacular announcement of who you are, because you know the angels are going to come, they're going to save you, and my gosh, what a spectacular way of announcing who you are. Jesus doesn't bite. Jesus knows who he is and that his way is very, very different from the world's. Instead of this spectacular display, Jesus instead is going to go to the cross, suffer death in a way that is humiliating, that is painful, and that is the total opposite of the way we would expect the Messiah and the Savior to behave. Because Jesus knows who he is. And he knows where his identity is. And he knows who his Father is. And that is God. He is here to do the ministry of his Father. And the ministry of his Father is to save every single person so that every single person can find their identity in Jesus. There are people that want to and do steal our identity every single day. In our baptism, we are marked with the sign of the cross. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we are specifically told, you are my beloved child. And every single day, there are thieves out there that want to tell us differently, don't they? My gosh, you know, you wake up this morning and you just look at the commercials on television. I'm too fat. My hair isn't the right color. It's not straight enough. It's not right. I mean, we're hearing so much that we are not good enough. But in Christ, we are. We are more than enough. And so there are thieves out there who say, you're not good enough. You don't have enough. You better be scared because there's not enough to go around. Yet we have a God that gives so abundantly. And have you noticed that the more you share, the more you seem to get? We are called to love each other, to stay firm in who we are and our identity as a beloved child of God every single day. Jesus knows exactly what we are going through. Our testing is not the same as Jesus' testing. Ours is very, very different. Yet, Jesus knows exactly what it is that we are experiencing. You are a child of God. That is the most important identity. And you know, I knew that as a child, and then I forgot it as I was starting to come into the ways of the world. And then, thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit opened it up so I could see again. The most important identity that I will ever have, the most important identity is life itself. And that is a child of God who has been saved through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is exactly who you are. On this Valentine's Day, I want you to close your eyes and to hear this. You are loved. You are unconditionally loved. You are a beloved child of God. You have been saved and reconciled in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. God the Most High, our Creator, has defined you. This Lenten season, live into that identity. Start to explore specifically what that means for you. And don't let the thieves tell you anything other than Christ, in Christ, is who you are. Amen.